Let's read 2 Kings chapter 3. In this chapter, we have the battle between the nation of Moab and the combined forces of Israel, Judah and Edom. Now, let's take this chapter in two sections. And for each section, we'll take a couple of background notes, one doctrinal point, and one practical application. Let's read together 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel at Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and mother, for he put away the sacred pillar of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he persisted in the sons of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. He did not depart from them. Now Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep breeder. And he regularly paid the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. But it happened when Ahab died that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So King Jehoram went out of Samaria at that time and mustered all Israel. Then he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." And he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, "By the way of the wilderness of Edom." So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout route 7 days. And there was no water for the army, nor for the animals that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no prophet of the Lord here, that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, "Elisha the son of Shaphat is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Then Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother." And the king of Israel said to him, "No, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you, nor see you. But now bring me a musician." And it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. All right, a few background notes for this first half of 2 Kings chapter 3. In the first few verses here of chapter 3, we read that King Jehoram of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. He was not quite as bad as his father and mother had been, that's Ahab and Jezebel, but we read that he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam. That's Jeroboam the first who had set up the golden calves there in the northern kingdom of Israel. In verse 4 and following, we read that Jehoram decided to attack the king of Moab because Moab was no longer paying tribute to Israel. King Jehoram wanted to force Moab into subjection again. He wanted to get this tribute back again. So he asked Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, to join him. Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, was a good king. But he foolishly joined this ungodly king Jehoram and went along with him and the king of Edom, and they made plans to attack Moab. Moab is where central Jordan is today. They decide to attack Moab from the south. It means that they had to take a long roundabout trip, forced march, if you will. They had to take the long way around the south end of the Dead Sea. But before they can mount an attack, they run out of water. An army without water can't move, and it's a sitting duck for the enemy. Well, it's at this point that Elisha comes on the scene and brings a gracious word from the Lord. And that then brings us to our doctrinal point from this first half of 2 Kings chapter 3. Here's the doctrinal point. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. Now that's actually a scripture verse. It comes from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. If you choose close associates who are the wrong kind of people, They are going to affect you. It is going to affect your character. And that's exactly what happened here to good King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat of Judah was a good and godly king, but he mixed with the wrong company. And as a result, he did some foolish things. And now we see Jehoshaphat, he's in trouble. Why? Because he's linked himself with wicked King Jehoram. His bad company has corrupted his good character. The same thing will happen in our lives if we make close friends and close associates with ungodly people. We need to watch this. We need to watch it especially with business associations. Many of you are in business. You're rubbing shoulders with unbelievers all the time, ungodly people. And we're to do that and share the word of God with them, share the gospel. So obviously there's got to be contact and business lunches, etc., etc. But watch out that your Christian character is not affected. Make sure that you take a strong stand for Christ right at the beginning, or else you'll find yourself before long even laughing at the off-color jokes that your colleagues will tell. Bad company corrupts good character. Practical application. Use praise music to calm your spirit. Use praise music to calm your spirit. Where do we see that? In verse 15, Elisha calls for a musician. And it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. You might wonder, what's Elisha doing out here in the wilderness anyway? Well, it seems like he must have come along somewhat like a military chaplain. Maybe the Lord sent him along, especially to watch out for King Jehoshaphat. Because of good King Jehoshaphat foolishly being there, yet because of his presence, Elisha says that he'll go before the Lord. But before he receives word from the Lord, he calls for a musician because his spirit is so disturbed. But with the music, his spirit is calmed. Well, this is good practical advice. Use praise music to calm your spirit. When your spirit is disturbed about some problem or decision that you need to make, sit down and listen to some good Christian praise music. It can calm your disturbed spirit so that the Lord can speak. The practical application here, I think, is very appropriate for all of us. Use praise music to calm your spirit. Well, let's read the rest of the story here, beginning at verse 16. And he said, that is, Elisha said, "Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is but a trivial thing in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. Also you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and shall cut down every good tree, and stop up every spring of water, and ruin every good piece of land with stones. Now it happened in the morning, when the grain offering was offered, that suddenly water came by the way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them, all who were able to bear arms and older were gathered, and they stood at the border. Then they rose up early in the morning, and the sun was shining on the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, 'This is blood. The kings have surely struck swords and have killed one another. Now therefore, Moab, to the spoil.' So when they came to the camp of Israel, Israel rose up and attacked the Moabites, so that they fled before them, and they entered their land, killing the Moabites. Then they destroyed the cities, and each man threw a stone on every good piece of land and filled it. And they stopped up all the springs of water and cut down all the good trees, except that they left intact the stones of Kir-Hareseth. However, the slingers surrounded and attacked it. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too intense for him, he took with him 700 men who drew swords to break through to the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his eldest son, who would have reigned in his place, and offered him as a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel. So they departed from him and returned to their own land." Just a couple of background notes. The Lord predicted through the prophet Elisha that there would be water and that the Lord would give Moab into their hands. Everything took place just as the Lord said. In fact, the Moabites walked right into the midst of the waiting Israeli troops. There was no contest until the king of Moab decided to sacrifice his son, human sacrifice, sacrifice his son to the pagan god Chemosh, right there on the city wall. He took the crown prince and offered him as a burnt offering on the top of the city wall where all the Israeli troops could see what was going on. Now, what happened then in the last verse is not quite clear, but it seems that because of this sacrifice, the troops of Moab fought with such increased fury that the Israeli army called it quits right when victory was in their grasp and they returned home. Well, what's our doctrinal point from this last half of 2 Kings 3? The Lord can bring water to the wilderness. The Lord can bring water to the wilderness. In verses 17 and 18, Elisha said, "You shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is but a trivial thing in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand." How did the Lord accomplish this miracle? Well, we don't know for sure. There was no local storm, but in any case, there's a spiritual lesson for us here. The Lord can bring water to the wilderness. Are you feeling like you're in a wilderness right now, without water to quench your spiritual thirst? Maybe you feel like King Jehoshaphat. You know you're in the wilderness because you made some foolish decisions, bad decisions. The Lord can bring water to your wilderness. All it takes is faith and a willingness to obey the Lord. I think that's what we see here. They were willing to do what the Lord said. The Lord said, "Fill this valley with ditches." They obeyed. Now that took faith and work. It's not easy to have the faith to dig ditches when you're dying of thirst under the hot sun. But they did have faith, and they did obey, and they did receive water. The Lord can bring water to your wilderness. One more practical application. Let's be faithful ditch diggers. Let's be faithful ditch diggers. In this spiritual picture that God has given us here, I think we could liken the water to the Word of God. Often in Scripture, the Word of God is likened to life-giving water. It can quench our spiritual thirst because it's the living Word of God. But notice, the people by faith had to dig the ditches so that the water could flow into them. We need to be faithful ditch diggers. We need to enlarge our capacity to take in the Word of God. Well, how do you do that? We need to spend time each day studying the Bible. We need to avail ourselves of the teaching of God's Word. Too many of us are satisfied with just scratching the surface. Well, surface scratches don't contain much water. No wonder we're thirsty. We need to dig deep ditches. Then the Word of God can flow into our beings and quench our spiritual thirst. Let's be faithful ditch diggers.